know, today, I feel like today's message, it's like if I could just sit down and have coffee with you, that's the type of message it is. Like, I have just a few reminders I'm praying that would be just an encouragement to you. But I think that we all need to be reminded of this. So just would you invite, like, just pretend it's you and I, if you can do that, and that we're sitting down with a cup of coffee. That's like my favorite thing to do, is just sit down with someone, have a cup of coffee, a good pastry, and then just talking about like the things of God, or eating too. Both are good. Well, let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the sweetness of your presence. We thank you for your grace and your goodness. Lord, we pray that as I speak today, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, that the Holy Spirit would be teaching us not only through the words I'm speaking, but as we're reading scripture, that your word would just come alive and capture our hearts right where they are. We thank you for all that you do and all of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, baptisms, as we've been talking about, or we experience a walkthrough, baptism is an outward expression of what has been happening inside of us. And today's topic is walking in the new life in Christ. And, you know, at first I was like, well, a majority of people at church might be a believer. How is this even like relevant? But then as I was just had been praying and meditating, it's a reminder. I think like just, hey, I want to remind you about a few things that I think are so pivotal to our walk with Christ. And I really hope, I was telling Jay yesterday, I said, I'm struggling putting all of the pieces together. And so I shared with him, like, he's like, well, you know, I shared with him my journey and he's like, there's your message. I said, that was like 15 seconds, honey. I know I got it. So, I hope that what the Lord has been like stirring in me will come across and you guys will capture the heart of the Father today and what he's saying. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 12. You know, something that I've been doing as you're turning there, something I've been doing for maybe about a month, maybe a little less than a month, is I've made majority of the time, I'm making this conscious decision to play the Bible app and listen to the Bible. So it's like the last thing I'll just like pick up where I left off. So I hit play and there's different versions have it where they'll like audibly read it to you. And so I had to use, I sometimes will use an app to help me fall asleep that prays over me and talks about scripture. But I was like, I'm going to switch gears here and I'm going to just play the Bible. And I'm just going to like, that's going to be the last thing I listen to and the first thing I wake up to. The interesting thing is some of the places are wild where you're waking up to. I'm not kidding. I have woken up into some crazy places of the Old Testament that I'm like half asleep, half waking up and like, wait, they did what? Like what just happened? Like, where am I? Is this like still the Bible? And what I've realized is that even though time has changed, humanity has remained the same. As I listen to some of the very violent parts of the Old Testament or some of the things and the sacrifices and things, I'm telling you, it is wild when you choose to do this because you don't know how, I don't know how long I'm going to sleep. I don't know if I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night. I have no clue what I'm waking up to, but I've just determined there's got to be something that changes in me if that's the last, that I'm just listening to it through it, through and through. And thank goodness, Jay sleeps with like earplugs in. So he has no clue, like that any of this is going on. But sometimes if anyone has ever listened to anything at night, it is a bizarre thing to wake up to some man all of a sudden, like in your ear talking to you. And you're just like, you forget what happens and it's bizarre. Anyways, I'm still doing it. But this morning as I was getting ready to get out of bed. So I know that last night I started in John. I was like, okay, I'm just going to put John on. And I woke up and the verse that I woke up to is the main verse that we're on to today. Like quite literally, I'm like rolling out of bed and it was verse 17 in this. That's literally the first thing that I like when I actually like my ears turned on. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like my ears like just kind of like had awoken or my brain awoke. It was 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, which is the crux of all of it today. So I thought that was just really, really cool that was of all days, the one verse that I woke up to this morning. But if you have your Bibles with me, you could read along. We're going to start in verse 12. For we do not condemn ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died, so if Christ died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one, and we want to remember this, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled himself through us through Jesus Christ, or reconciled himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that what we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen and amen. I feel like we can just like read that and walk away. Everything is encapsulated in that verse, the great exchange of how Christ gave his life for us so that we would have new life in him. But the place that I want to talk about is, what is walking in new life in Christ all about? You know, I look at my own life and I see how sometimes I can get a little bit lazy, maybe that's the word, about how I walk in Christ. You know, verse 17 or 16 first says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We regard no one according to the flesh. So right there, as I was thinking about this, is when we see people, whether we're in this context, whether we are at the store, wherever we find ourselves, one place is that we're not to regard what we see in front of us. That sometimes is hard to do. And as we're talking about new life, and we're coming a new life in Christ, and we're talking about baptisms and coming off of that, is so many times we will see people for who they were. So many times we see people for what they've done. And here we're being instructed that we regard no one according to the flesh. It's not even just people who are in Christ. It says that we regard no one according to the flesh, as we're called to be people who are ministers of reconciliation. And that means that we're bringing people, we're helping be the bridge of what people don't know and might find themselves in darkness. And we bridge them over and we say, hey, let me introduce you to Christ, right? But that we regard no one according to their flesh. Now, that's really hard to do. Am I the only one, right? You all of a sudden have this encounter with someone, or you've had this history with someone. And now all of a sudden, what is the call? The call is that we regard them no longer with what we see. Why do we regard them no longer how we see or what we think to know? It's because if anyone now, and this is the great, even greater promise. Now, if anyone is a new creation, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not some things, not if you're good enough, not if you did all the right things. No, if you've accepted Christ, there's a new life that's available to us, that we would walk in those promises. And not only do we get to walk in that promise, we get to be people who echo the promise that says there's new life available to you. You don't have to walk in these old ways. You know, part of the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I think oftentimes we can find ourselves combating the old things. And David talked about this a couple weeks ago about how the moment he started focusing on what he needed to do versus what he shouldn't be doing, things began to shift in his life. Now, and that's great. And so now we just want to elevate it and go, okay, not only am I supposed to be focusing on the things that I should be doing or what God's promises is are, but what begins to happen when the words out of our mouth, and I keep going back about this, echo the truth, not what is true. Because there's I just had a conversation about this, and then I listened to randomly a podcast about this, and then I heard something else, like all within this week, that reminded me of this, that there's things that are true. So what is true right now? Well, right now it's 10:50. That is true, right? Right now it is raining outside. That is true. Right now your gas tank may be empty or full. That is true. There's things that are all true in our life. Your bank account might be in the negative. That is might be true for some, right? There might be you're walking through sickness. That is true. I just had a neighbor who lost their husband. That is true. All of those things are true. That being said, there is a truth that overrides those places we find ourselves. Now, it doesn't erase it. The Bible doesn't change the time to 12 o'clock because I want it 12 o'clock. No, it doesn't. Like, there's still truth. And so why this is important is because what I believe happens is we come on Sunday or we have these encounters and experiences, and then things that are true begin to pop up, and they want to suppress the truth that is found in the Word of God. The truth is that we are all, if you've said yes to Jesus, we are all a new creation. That means that all the old things have passed away. When we saw people last week being baptized, that visual of going down, that saying, I'm dying to myself and I'm being resurrected in Christ. Now, all of a sudden, all my old things, they've passed away. But sometimes they're still there. And what the enemy likes to do, and we see this, and I was trying to, this is how I'm going to try to put this all together. What the enemy likes to do, whether it's echoing through our own thoughts, whether it's echoing through people who are well-meaning or have bad intention or whatever, or circumstances, is he wants to tempt us with what we perceive to be true about ourselves versus the truth. When we know Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and we're going to just quickly turn there in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is tempted, and you may be familiar with this, but I want it to understand, because what we need to understand is, as believers, as followers of Christ, none of us are exempt from the temptation of the enemy. None of us are exempt from our minds not cycling with thoughts. None of us are exempt about forgetting about the decisions we've made that maybe were bad decisions, right? But here's what the enemy likes to do, is he likes to create doubt. He likes to try to create doubt. And we see it with Jesus as he first comes after his identity. In Matthew chapter 4, I'll just start with verse 1, even though I think I gave them verse 3. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, listen to what he says. If you are the Son of God, he comes after immediately. If you are the Son of God, he doesn't say, if you're hungry, why don't you turn this into bread? No, he starts it with bringing doubt to what? Who he was. And so often when we're following Christ and we're making these decisions, or we're deciding I'm going to hook up for Bible study, or I'm going to read my Bible more, the enemy immediately likes to come and say, if you were really a Christian, if you were really, when you repented, if you really meant that, if you really were, and what does he do? He likes to bring doubt into the very being that says, no, I have new life in Christ. All my old things have passed away. Behold, I am new. That is the promise. That is the truth. That is the declaration that we all get to walk in Christ. And immediately after the enemy comes, he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread, right? Now show me, prove to me that you really are who you say you are. Prove to me that you, right? And Jesus says, but he answered and said, it is written. He comes with the truth not what was true. Because what was true, as we just read, was Jesus was hungry. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I was trying to like cut back on sugar and I had 2 donuts today. Like, you know, I mean, like, I'm not even lying. And I didn't cut any of them in half. I had one with a cup of coffee and I was like, oh, there's some more. I'm going to go get another one, right? Like, that is true, right? Jesus was hungry 40 days and 40 nights. And the thing that the enemy tempts him with is his identity. And Jesus immediately responds, it is written. Then it says in verse 6, it says, if you are the Son of God, if you are, then throw yourself down. And here's then what the enemy does. He uses truth. Because I think we forget that the enemy was in heaven. He was a worshiper. Just think about this for a moment. The enemy comes with scripture to him. He says, the tempter says, for it is written, he shall give your angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But Jesus, knowing the truth, says this, it is written. When I think about what us walking in new life in Christ is about, as I do believe we need to be quicker at coming with the word of God and the truth versus the truth of or the true we find in the circumstances. So many times we find ourselves in situations, and I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself. I know all of the thoughts that run through my head on a daily basis. In fact, I was studying and reading, and all of a sudden my mind began to wander into this random story. I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what happened. This story was all of a sudden I was making up. And then I'm like, I was just reading the Bible. Like, how did I get there? Because our mind just likes to wander. So much more so that when we find ourselves in situations, we entertain too long the true stuff that's happening around us. Instead of actually walking in the discipline in the truth of the word of God. And I believe that we need to be reminded, remember, this is me and you having coffee. I think we both need to be reminded on a certain level that, hey, we need to begin to stop the thoughts, and we're going to get there, stop the thoughts, and we need to begin to declare God's promises. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't acknowledge what's happening. There's circumstances and thoughts and feelings that we need to process, that we need to get out. There's things that we have to reconcile with. I'm not saying we ignore any of those things. I'm just suggesting maybe we allow the tape of negativity and circumstances to run way longer than the word of God. And so many times, not only is the enemy coming at us, but there's some times that people will even come to us and begin to say things to us that then echo the things that are in our minds. So the enemy will tempt us by trying to create doubt in us, in our identity found in Christ. If you meant it, right, then you would. These are some of the things that have happened in my mind. In fact, I was sharing with Jay this morning. I said, I was just having a conversation, and I said, like, what's the, like, thought that floats in your mind? Is there, like, ever a thought that, like, you battle with in, regards? I don't remember how I fully stated it, but one of the big things that the enemy has been, I will share, cycling in my mind when I make a decision. There's a pastor whom I love and honor and respect 1,000%. And the enemy current play thing that he's trying to play in my mind is, Pastor so-and-so wouldn't do that. I bet Pastor so-and-so is more disciplined with their time. Pastor so-and-so, like, I'm not even kidding. It's been flooding my mind this week. Like, I go to sit down, I bet Pastor so-and-so doesn't struggle like this. It is bizarre. I was telling Jay, I said, it is the most bizarre thing. There is nothing about our lives, like, this pastor is a male, I am a female. There is nothing about our lives that are anything like, and the enemy just is, like, bombarding me with doubt. With what kind of pastor are you? What kind of mom are you? What kind of community influencer are you? And just the enemy would come, and what is he trying to do? Wear me down. Wear me down. But the word of God says that I am a new creation, that all old things have passed away. And we as believers, I believe if we want to see change that we're like inching towards, I know it. I see things. I see how the Lord is moving in people's lives. We have to be people who say, it is written. It is written. What I experienced and I encountered, I get to live in this newness every day. His mercies are new every morning. I can turn back to him today in a moment. I don't have to wait till Monday. I don't have to wait till the morning. I can turn to him every day. Just as Jesus. So if Jesus was tempted with his identity, the enemy will often try to draw us back to where we are versus who we're becoming. He will often get us, and we live in such a time where self-awareness is key. Self-awareness, you got to be aware, and right now culture is calling us so much to who? Ourselves. Oh, but I'm a new creation. For those of people who are in Christ, all old things have been passed away. I died with him and I'm raised again with him. That's the promise we get to live in every single day. And the enemy would try to say, no, you're still dead. No, you're still down. No, you're still struggling. No. And he wants to keep us in that place where we feel we're drowning. And what we've seen is that we've been baptized and we come up with Christ. And that's where we get to come from, is that place. I'm telling you, it is so important. I know it is. I know it is, because I can feel them bombarding. Even someone recently just said, like, I can't get my mind to stop. I don't know about you and where you find your mind, but the enemy is after our mind. Because if he has our mind, then he has our attention. And if he has my attention, guess where my attention isn't? It isn't on what the Lord is doing. It isn't about what he said. It isn't about any of those things. It's all distracted with all of these things, all the glimmery stuff, instead of the one who says, you have new life in me. I believe that we got to reset just a little bit and say, and all of us, it's going to be different. But Lord, I want to walk in that, not just the newness of it. There's no reason for the hope that we have in salvation for it ever to be old. That it's not just when we die, we get to go to heaven. No, we get to experience, and we can experience the fullness of the promise here on earth today. That when we are together, we get to experience the fullness of God together today. When it says that we regard no one according to the flesh, that means that when I come somewhere or I walk into a situation, I can change the atmosphere by just saying, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear what you have to say about this person, what you have to say about the circumstances. And I get to be someone who gets to participate and being a minister of reconciliation. I'm going to tell you that there was nothing cooler. I told this to Jay at the end of service last week. I looked at him and I said, top three moments ever in my life in ministry with you today. Top three. Like it was the most, like to be a part of someone who is being reconciled with Christ in that capacity is amazing. And we can do that every single day. We can be people who see someone who's down and says, Holy Spirit, would you show me what to say? Would you show me how to encourage this person? Would you give me eyes to see the person in the hall that no one sees? And you don't, it's not about making these big change. It says in the epistle somewhere that, and I always get this confused and I should just memorize it and know where it's at, but it says that like Apollos watered and Paul planted seeds, or Paul planted and Apollos watered. They both did. The point is they did it together. One watered, one planted the seeds, but it was God who brings the increase. And so when we get to walk every single day, every person we come into, we get to be someone who waters, who plants, who waters, who plants, who speaks truth. Because why? We regard no one according to the flesh. When we see people, we don't have to look at their circumstances. We don't have to look at their gossip. We don't have to look whatever, wherever you find yourself. We get to be people that are not only walk in the newness and all our old baggage and our old junk gets to be like buried and done with. And we walk towards walking free in Christ. We get to bring people along and say, did you know that you're a child of God? Did you know that Jesus loves you? Did you know that he sees you and he's not forgotten you? I have heard crazy stories where people just ask, Lord, what do you want me to know? And then like a random phrase, and someone's like, So I asked God, and there was this word spaghetti that came up. And then people are like, oh my God. And it resonates. Why? Because the Lord is on the move. And if we are still stuck in our stuff, and granted, there's stuff we got to deal with. But part of us dealing with it is saying, Lord, I'm going to go back to your word. And I'm not only going to not regard anyone else according to the flesh, I'm not going to regard myself according to the flesh. I'm no longer going to regard myself of my old past behaviors. I'm no longer going to regard myself and be so consumed with all of my stuff. I'm going to actually turn to you, turn to your word, and declare out of your mouth. You guys, I don't know if anything has shifted in me with listening to the Bible. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if that there's been any change. But I'm not stopping, because it was a random thing, a random thought, and I'm like, I'm going with it. And so if that means for the next year, 2 years, 3 years, whether it's just because the last thing I hear is a promise of God or the first thing I hear is a promise, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop just because I don't see any change in me. See, we're to regard no one according to the flesh. So number one, if the enemy came for Jesus and his identity, he's going to come for your identity. So then what do we do? We need to remind ourselves that we're not going to regard ourselves to our old behaviors. And when we sin, or you're struggling through something, it actually says in scripture we're to confess our sins actually to one another. Just think about that. I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know where you find yourself. I have no clue. But sometimes I know that I've bared my soul to people and had to just admit some really uncomfortable things. But we find healing in that. So we have to be confessing our sins to one another. And that's a vulnerable place. That's a scary place, because people are scary and tricky and have betrayed other people. And right? Anyways, that's still how we're supposed to do it. So we're not to regard anyone else according to the flesh. We don't regard ourselves anymore according to our flesh. And we remember we have new life in Christ. So if you're unfamiliar with the story, but in Acts chapter 9, we're going to go to Acts chapter 9 verses 19, but there's a man named Saul. If you are unfamiliar with Saul, Saul was someone who persecuted the church. So quite literally, he went after Christ's followers. That was what he was doing. He had like the paperwork for it. He was at his hand, people were murdered, were murdered and killed are the same thing. They were killed. They were kidnapped. They were humiliated. This was all at the hands of Saul. He felt like he was entitled to do this. He's on his way. He has his papers literally quite in hand. He's on his way to, I think it's like Damascus. Is that where he was headed? I think that's where he was headed. Yep. He was on the Damascus road, not Damascus. He was on the road. He's on his way to go persecute the church. And all of a sudden, there's this moment he has where he's like struck with blindness. And he hears, because he can't see all of a sudden, he hears, why are you persecuting me? And now he goes on this journey, ends up having Jesus or God speaks to a man named Cornelius. It is Cornelius or Ananias. I was Ananias. Ananias. And he says, I need you to go find this man named Saul. This is where you'll find him. He's talking to Saul. And now let's just think about this. This is a man who's persecuting Christ's followers, his disciples. And now this man is saying, hey, he gets this dream. I want you to go and find this man who's killing people. Who would like that job? Anyone in here? And so Ananias goes. And Ananias goes. They confirm both the dream that Saul had. Saul would later become Paul. Paul wrote the epistles, epistles in Corinthians and the later part of the New Testament. So here's a man who goes from persecuting the church to being one of the most pivotal people in the church. But I want you to see, because I want us to understand that as we walk in Christ, we're going to be misunderstood. People are going to want to see you for who you were, not who you are. So in Acts chapter 9, verse 19, it actually says, so after this, it says, so when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some time with the back up in verse 18, sorry, guys. Verse 18. Immediately, so after he prays over him, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. I'm just adding that in there because we're coming off of this whole, our baptisms and walking new in Christ. So Saul has this encounter. He waits for Ananias. Ananias comes, preach the gospel, prays over him. His eyesight, the scales fall off. Then he's baptized. He comes up, he's strengthened, he eats, and then he spends some time with the disciples in Damascus. Verse 20, immediately, how soon? Immediately, Saul goes from being a persecutor to being a preacher. It says immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard, not one, not some, then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name in Jerusalem and has come here for the purpose so that we might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased in all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews now plotted to kill him. Understandably, right, guys? Like, understandably, there might be a little doubt, hesitation, because how can there be such a transformation? Because that's what our natural mind would say. But here we see that immediately after he's baptized, he goes from persecution to preaching. And now they don't know what to do with him. So instead of accepting that maybe there could be a change in him, the Jews want to kill him. He's not qualified. He came after. Whatever the reasoning was in their mind. Now, after many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, and the plot became known to Saul, and they watched at the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. I always think when there's baskets and people are being let down, it's like that visual is just crazy, like they're putting him under and letting it. Anyways, okay, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but guess what? But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and then he had spoke to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Understandably, people were absolutely skeptical of what happened in Christ, in Saul's life. There might be people who might be skeptical because they know who you were. But I'm going to tell you, don't let that stop you. Be someone who preaches what God has done more than what you have done. Be someone who declares the truth of what God is doing in your life versus the places you still feel bound. And then find someone to do it with you. See, Saul had come, and the disciples rejected him. You would think that it would be a win. But Barnabas saw him and took him along and testified and encouraged, as I would presume, to keep going and preaching. Not everyone is going to be excited for your walk with Christ. You will not be able to fully articulate what Christ is doing in your heart. There are some things that are between you and the Lord as they are to be between you and the Lord. There's some people who will not understand it, get it, desire it, want it, encourage you towards it. But we need to find who our Barnabas is. We need those people who are going to lift us up. And today we were praying in our prayer time, and Mary was praying, and she said, "Lord, would you send us the Aarons and the Hurs to hold up our, you know," because in the Old Testament, Moses was getting tired and they held up his hands for him when he couldn't. We need people to hold us up, to come alongside of us, to come praying with us. We're not intended to do things solo. We're not intended to be silos. We need people like Barnabas who will call out and draw out and stick with you, even though know you. They know your past. They know your decisions that you've made before, but that would say, but God is Christ, has called you. You are a new creation in him. We can't do it alone. Not everyone will be excited, and that's okay. Find a friend or someone who can help you. If you see someone who's trying to grow in their relationship with Christ, don't wait till they ask. Hey, can we get some coffee? Help me hear what the Lord's doing in your life. Would you share with me why you wanted to get baptized? Like, help me understand your story. Help me, right? Like, we just need to be people who are encouraging other people. People know the weight of their sin. They're walking in it. People know the weight of their bondage. They're walking in it. We as a church should be people who are calling out the truth of what God has already said about them. The truth that was already true about them, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that they were put in their mother's womb for this time. That's what the church needs to be. And I think for so long, we've echoed the true of what's happening versus the truth. And I believe as we awaken and we reignite walking in the truth and the newness of Christ, the easier it will be to call that out in people. I get it. I struggle with it all the time. I'll see circumstances and the circumstance will want to shake me up and want to say, oh, God's not answering your prayers. They're never going to get it. They're walking away from the Lord and I need to come back. And I have people that I call and say, hey, I don't know what's going on. I can't figure out what's happening. Would you just pray with me? These are the circumstances. And then they say, Susie, this is what the word of God says. Susie, we're praying for you. Susie, we're praying for your family. Susie, we're right. They come alongside and they hold us up. They remind us of the truth of the word of God so that as we're walking through the battles, as we're walking through it, see, that's what the world needs. The world already has all of this chaos, all of this confusion, all of this stuff that's happening about everything. There's an opinion, an angle, a side for every situation we find ourselves in. There's about 15 ways you can do anything. Like the world just wants to, the enemy's plan is just to bring utter confusion. But the word of God never changes. The word of God about what God's already said about us has never changed. We need to be people who walk with a level of stability in the new life in Christ, and we get to call out that newness in people's life. I'm telling you, this is how we're going to see things change. This is how we're going to see circumstances change. And it's not always, you know, there's someone who I'll call and I'll say, hey, man of God, and I'll talk to them and I'll call out the man of God, but not every time. I'll just say, hey, how you doing? I love you. Just letting you know we're praying for you. Like, it looks different in all circumstances, but we need to be people who call out the newness, who come alongside people with the truth. Because people are facing these things alone sometimes. There are people who have literally betrayed them, walked away from them, made fun of them, who mock them, who like look at them as if they're weird. They need people reminding them that they're walking in truth. Matthew chapter 13, and this is another piece where someone decided to look at the circumstances and what had been true versus the truth of what it was. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? And then listen to this doubt. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are his sisters not, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. Here is Jesus. And what do? They begin to read out who he was, what qualified him. Why was he qualified? He came from an unqualified person to be now teaching in the synagogues. And it says they were offended. Walking with Christ will offend some people. It will offend some people. We don't walk around to be offensive. We don't walk around to prove someone wrong. But the word of God and walking with Christ will offend some people. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. People we know may reject us, cause confusion. If Jesus experienced this, we will experience it. I don't think people oftentimes are trying to be ill-willed towards us. Sometimes if you just catch us in a vulnerable place and we're hungry, right? It could just, someone can ask you something. It could just sting the wrong way, right way, whatever way you want to say. You know, Jesus's family struggled with him. We read in one of the gospels, there's a part where Jesus is refraining to go like to Judea or Samaria. He knows, I should have wrote it down. They and his brothers are like, oh, you should go and prove yourself. Go over here. And Jesus knew that they were waiting to kill him. And so he's like, no, it's not my time. See, his family was trying to say, prove to us that you are who you are. Go, just go there. See, sometimes people will do that. Why don't you prove to me that you're a Christian? Why don't you prove to me that you actually believe these things? We're not here to prove anything. We're here to walk in the truth and the truth of who Christ says we are. We're to walk in obedience. We're to walk in faith. But there's nothing we have to prove. You know, Jay said he was going to make me one, and I said it was fine, and I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it. Have you guys ever seen, there's a word for it, David might know the word here in just a minute, where it's like there's a common denominator, and then there's circles that are the circles, but then like they overlap in the circle? What is it? Venn diagram? Okay, you guys know what that is? So just think about this. If you were to draw yourself and put me in the circle, like in the middle, and then you were to draw one circle so it kind of overlap you, it's like who God says you are. And then if you were to draw another circle that would overlap a portion of that circle in the word me, it would be who people or the world says I am. And then if you were to draw another circle kind of on top and it would come around still encapsulating me and intersect with what does God say about me, what is the world's perspective, and then the other portion is who do I say I am and how do I live? That's kind of the intersection of how we live. We're living in what God says. The world is coming over here, and we're trying to navigate through our own truth and trying to walk free of things. Every day, we are all faced with having to walk closer in that circle to who God says I am rather than what the world says, or being too flooded with even what I think about myself or how I should do things. See, Jesus decided, I'm going to walk in obedience to my Father versus being distracted by others' opinions of me. I'm going to walk in obedience to my Father, and I'm not going to, as the tempter was tempting him with everything, he said, no, I'm just going to say what the Word of God says. And in my Father's timing, his promises will come to pass in my life. As we're walking as new believers, new life in Christ, what does it begin to look like for you to walk more like Christ and less than like the world has called you or said about you or how you even think about yourself? What is it going to take for you to walk more like Christ? As I mentioned, when Jesus was tempted, and as we read, what did he come back with when Jesus was tempted? Scripture. And what we need to be reminded of, or what I would like to remind you of, is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, now I, Paul, who once was Saul. Okay, let's remember that. This Paul is the Saul that persecuted believers. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence I am lowly among you, but being absent, I am more bold towards you. So he's saying, like, when I'm writing these letters, I'm very direct and bold. When I'm with you, I'm trying to take a posture of meekness. But I beg you that that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So Paul is saying, I had to read this like 15 times to like understand what he was like. It was like a riddle. Wait, what are you saying? What he was saying is, look, when I'm with you, I want to take a posture of humility and meekness. There's nothing I need to prove to you. But sometimes there's people who still come against us about with who we once were. And with those people, I'm going to be bold and let them know, don't count my flesh against me. That's not who I am. That I will be bold towards. And then he says this, for though we walk in the flesh, how many of us are walking in the flesh? All of us. If you see me, I am flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And this is so important as it is important. It is so important for us to understand this, that when we are walking through things, just as Jesus's brothers were trying to set him up to go, just as people were doubting who Jesus was, he didn't get offended, angry, or mad back. See, we don't war against the flesh. When people are being rude to us, indignant towards us, doubting towards us, we need to understand that at what level are they speaking lies that are fueled by the enemy or even by your past decisions? And we don't war against it with just our words. I mean, with our like words, like, that's not who I am. Who do you think? Not that. No, we war against it in the spirit. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God, bringing every thought. How many thoughts? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Here's what I'm getting at in all of this, is that every thought that does not line up with the knowledge of who God is, whether it's a word spoken to you by someone else, whether it's your own thought that you're entertaining, whether it's like, I failed this test, I must be dumb, like whatever the thought might be, if it does not come in alignment with the word of God, then we fight it with the word of God. And it says that the word of God is strong enough to bring down the strongholds. See, what happens is when we reiterate those thoughts, the words that have been spoken to us that are not true or that were once true but don't line up with the word of God, it can become a stronghold and we get stuck. We get stuck in this cycle. And the only way to get out of this cycle is to bring every thought. I don't know how to make what every thought means. So you might be like, Susie, so you mean like every thought? Yes, every thought. So, but we as believers, myself as a believer, so many times entertain the thoughts, the lies, right? Like that lie that I was saying that, oh, like that pastor wouldn't do that. Like, what does that have to fulfill anything in me? That wasn't the Holy Spirit trying to teach me something. That is condemnation from the enemy. But you know what I did? Nothing. I just let it be there for the whole week. And then I finally confessed it to Jay this morning. Hey, honey, I just need to tell you, this is a thought that's in my mind. And he said, honey, that's condemnation from the enemy. Yes. See, we too many times entertain the situations, the circumstances, why it might be true, why it was true. Instead of saying, that is not true. I am a new creation. All old things have passed away. Behold, I am new. Even if that's the only verse you meditate on. If that's the only verse that you bring, that you say, God, I'm trusting in your word, and your word says, I am a new creation. See, I can entertain those thoughts to a certain level. But what we need to realize is that there's so many people, because it goes beyond us, who don't have the capacity to do that. That some of those thoughts are the last thought or might be the thought that the enemy uses to push someone over the edge. See, what we need to recognize is it's not just about me. Like, as much as I want it to be sometimes, it's not about me. It's about me learning how to warfare in the spirit so I can teach my kids how to warfare in the spirit, so I can teach their friends how to warfare in the spirit, so I can teach that person who wants to have a Bible study with me how to warfare in the spirit. Because my life, I have people who will tell me, like, Jay, honey, that's condemnation in your life. But there's people who are walking every day with no one speaking the truth to them. And we have to understand, we got to be people who awaken to this. See, we are sometimes so moved by all of the circumstances, all of the like financial crisis, all of, like, are you safe? Are you good? Have you done all the right things to have everything lined up? Like, we are so focused on the wrong things. And there's people every day who are battling their thoughts, whose thoughts turn into actions. And so us awakening to this is, number one, to get to say, no, I am not going to walk. The Lord is giving me new life. He's called me free. He's called me his son. He's called me his daughter. He's called me his beloved. Those are truth about me. And now I need to go echo that to someone else. Every day, people are being bombarded with thoughts, whether they're believers. I don't know how many people in here has ever thought, like, if you're really Christian, then why would you? Are you sure Jesus is real? This is a good one. Does it really matter? Jesus will forgive you. Does it really matter? You didn't read or pray your Bible. You probably shouldn't go to church. Or a big one that everyone likes to echo about the church is that we're all hypocrites. That's a fun one people are echoing. No, that's not true. The truth is we are people who are a work in progress, being perfected until Christ returns. That's the truth. That's what God says. So we're all being perfected until he returns, which means there's going to be some imperfections in me. That means that I'm going to have Christ is king, and I am not the judge, and there's going to be times that things happen in front of me that I can't explain, but that doesn't change who's on the throne. It doesn't change the victory I already have. See, these are the things, if we are talking about gearing up for what lies ahead, as we need to be people who fortify our minds with the word of God. You know, I should confess, and she's not here, but I will confess it. We need to be people who put scripture together to be praying out loud. I actually had a conversation, and I was going to apologize, but Sam had asked, and she was struggling with a few things, and I said, I'll write you out a prayer, and I haven't. So I confess that in front of all of you guys, that this is something that is really hard to live out sometimes. It's hard. It's just discipline. There's a lot funner things to scroll on my phone and read. I don't know about other people's lives. There's a news that I must need have that takes up my life instead of giving attention to the things that matter in my children's life sometimes. And so what do? We say, today I'm a new creation. All that stuff has passed away. Behold, I am new. I want us to be a church that walks free so that we can run the race that he set before us. Each one of us, he set a race in front of each one of us. And we got to lay down the weights and the sins, Hebrews 12:1, so we can run the race effectively to bring people so that we can be ministers of reconciliation. How does that sound for you guys? So my challenge and charge for you this week, as it is for myself, is to sit down and find some truths that you can write down that you need to hang on to. Put them on your phone, put them on your mirror, read them. Like, don't just say, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. No, I'm committing to you guys, and I expect someone to ask me next Sunday, have you written out those truths for Samantha and Micah and Isaac? Because all three of them have been on my list to do. It's literally. So I'm saying in front of you guys, you will ask me. I expect someone to ask me next week, look me eye to eye and say, what were the scriptures you wrote down? I'm not going to do that to you, but I am asking someone to keep me accountable here, because I want us to be a church that effectively knows how to use the word of God, not as the sword that it is, as the weapon that it is, that brings truth, and it says it's so sharp, it divides. Because so many lies we believe are so sown into us, we don't even know sometimes where the truth is. And it feels so true, and it feels so right, and it almost sounds so righteous. And the Lord's saying, no, I want to speak the word. I want you speaking the word so it cuts right where it needs to. And I take off what is no longer true. And the only thing that is left is that will produce life. Agreeable? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for salvation that was found in you, and that you didn't just leave it at that, that you didn't leave us to figure it out on our own, that you gave us the word of God, the truth that overcomes any true circumstance we find ourselves in, that when we find ourselves in grieving, that is true, that there's truth that says that there's peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we thank you that your word is, it says it will not return void, but it'll go out to do the very thing that you set it to do. God, I pray that this week, as we take time to dig into your word, to find the truth, to meditate on that, Lord, that we would hear you speak through your word, Lord, and that is what we hold on to. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for salvation, God. We thank you for the work you're doing in this church, Lord, that you would be glorified, that the truth of who you are would be glorified in this place, that there would be truth in our worship, there would be truth in our prayers, there would be truth as we preach, God. Lord, that we would be a church that keeps our eyes set on you, that we would not be a church that's moved by all of these other things that would cause us to want to distract us, that would cause us to even create our own theology, that no, God, that we would be a church that stands on your word, that learns how to navigate through circumstances and truth. Lord, I thank you that we have each other. Lord, I thank you that you're strengthening us. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to knit our hearts together. Lord, that we would be closer to you. And then, Lord, I ask that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear people, and we would know no longer regard them according to their flesh, but we would be people who would speak the truth, that would be ministers of reconciliation, and we would declare, Lord, that people would have new life in you and come to know you in a greater capacity. Lord, we ask those things, we declare those things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. We love you guys. We love you. We love you. We hope to see you this upcoming Wednesday at worship and prayer, because we're at the end of the month, at worship and prayer, and get into a small group. Let me know if you have any questions. See ya.